Welcome back to another Super Fantasy Football Show. I am John, your host. We are just about a quarter of the way through the season. Can you believe that? I did the math. 23% of the way through. So I think by Thursday evening, after the Thursday game, we'll be right at a quarter of the way through. I'm not doing that math. I'm just guessing. And what a season it's been. Topsy-turvy, if you ask me, because I am sixth in the league, and that's way off if you're asking me, but whatever. There's another wild group of games this week, and we're going to get into all that. We're going to make some predictions for next week's games. But first, we have the owner from one of the hottest teams in the league. His team is on a two-game win streak and only a half game out of first place. And most importantly, his point total is already doing way better than it was last year. You guessed it. We got Technical Fouls owner Matt Chez with us today. Matt, how you doing?
I'm doing great, John. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining. Real quick, I want to play a quick game. Do you want to guess, without looking it up, guess your point total so far this season?
Full disclosure, I got to admit, I was looking at this today, so I think I know.
Okay,
let's hear it. I know where I stand relative. So I believe it's 325 points.
That's exactly, 325.5, that's exactly right. Now, do you want to go ahead and guess what your point total was through the first three games of last season?
Ooh, I'm going to go ahead and guess 208.
I think it was 200 exactly. I did the math yesterday, but it was 200 exactly, I'm pretty sure.
I remember there was one game that it was like 46 and a half points or something, obscenely low.
That was your season opener. Yeah, and then your next week, I believe it was a little more respectable. It was like in the 90s, and then week three was again like 65 points or something. Oh my god! So it's good. I'm glad you're back in the mix this year, because that's no fun for anyone. Although you snuck into the playoffs, so how bad could it be? All right,
hey, that's why we play the games.
That's right. That's right. It's been a crazy year so far, in my opinion. What are your impressions of the league so far this season?
I think this league, the competitiveness and the parity is better than I can ever remember. It seems like, you know, the past at least five or so years, there's always pretty early on a couple, one or two, three teams that, kind of show themselves as being above the rest, and then there's everyone else. But this year, I think it's wide open.
Yeah, it definitely.
About you, I think you can make any team an argument for why they'd be in the playoffs, and then on the flip side, you could say any team and make a pretty good argument that they're going to finish seventh or eighth.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely wide open right now. Randy, of course, in first place by half game, but only one undefeated team, and I think the for Power and Vitality is too strong to stay undefeated or stay defeated. I should say, much longer. But yeah, wide open so far. And a quarter way through the season. How about that? That's crazy. So before we get into fantasy talk, tell me, if your fantasy persona was an NFL figure, who or what would you be?
All right. I took this as a team. It seemed like that's how most people interpreted the question so far. So that's what I went with too. And, you know, I was debating back on a few. But I settled on the Oakland Raiders for a few reasons. The Las Vegas Raiders, I guess I should say, for a few reasons. Similarly to them, I've had some championship success in the past, but it's been, you know, a long time coming since I've been back to where I want to be. And I think that's pretty similar to where they are as an organization. I've lived and died by the trades, which is kind of as well what they're known for. I don't know if you recall, I was thinking back when you invited me on, the year I won the championship, I can't remember if you and I were part of a three-way trade or there was just two big trades where we both really overhauled our teams pretty late in the year. Mm-hmm. But that was the year that I then eventually went on to win. And I recall you ran the numbers and, I think you had just missed the playoffs, but if you had been able to squeeze in, with your revamping of the team, you would have won that championship.
Yeah, that was the year, I believe it was, that must have been 2015, because we were still going up to Penn State in the spring and being terribly sad about having to be real adults, but having a good time whenever we were in state college. And we had a little bit too much fun on a Saturday night, and I completely forgot to like set my lineup at all for the following Sunday. And so I didn't really get my team in gear until later in the season. Then once I really started focusing, I think I pulled off 2 3-way trades that year, which I don't think has happened since. That's a pain in the ass to do. But pulled it off and then had an incredible team, but it was too late. I waited too long to get into it. So, but you know, that's why you got to make the moves early. You got to pay attention all season long.
That's right. And then on the flip side, you know, I had the trade where I infamously ended up with Antonio Brown, who was on the then Raiders, Oakland Raiders, I believe, for about 2 weeks in training camp. Mm-hmm. And then the pick that I used to draft Andrew Luck about 48 hours before he retired. And that really set me back. Yeah. So, you know, again, live and die by the trade. And then finally, you know, I'm a heel through and through. I've had at least one league investigation into my conduct. I believe there's at least two or three other ones. I can't exactly remember.
Oh, my God.
You know, so it's, you know, it's something that I embrace. And, you know, just with those three factors, I felt that the Raiders were the best pick for my persona.
Yeah, and that makes complete sense. And the one year where you who did you draft that – Was it when you drafted Joe Mixon and
it was,
like no one
yeah,
was touching him? Yeah, that was the Raiders move of you to do. So that I like it. That makes sense. Oh man. But speaking of trades, we had a pretty big one last week, which I'm going to take credit for announcing that this player was on the block on the last episode. But David traded Zeke for DeAndre Hopkins straight up with Randy. So I want to know, who do you think won that trade so far? First impressions.
Well, I guess so far, you know, you do have to give it to Randy that I'm looking at his schedule this week or this past week. I think he would not have won his game or tied against Tom if it weren't for the trade and having Zeke on in his flex position, mm-hmm. On his bench. So he didn't have any players that had that amount of points. But overall, you know, I think Dave at the end of this is going to come out the winner. I think DeAndre Hopkins has a higher ceiling. It's definitely more risk, more reward. But Zeke, he seems like he's just going to be a split back, splitting carries the entire season, and not be, you know, that guy. Mm-hmm. And I was quite frankly pretty surprised that Randy made this trade. It seemed pretty out of character. I don't know if you think he's, you know. He loves to gamble, be bold, and then he trades for running back depth. I did not understand it personally, but I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, it was I see both sides of it. Like on one hand, you're hoping, you know, DeAndre Hopkins is out at that time for another four games, I believe. You're hoping Zeke is going to turn it back on, and you know he did fine last game. I don't quite recall off the top of my head. I think it was like the 10 to 15 range, maybe like 13 or so. Yeah, you know, for sure paid off so far. If he can keep putting up, you know, 13, 15, that's pretty solid. It's not, you know, the best running back in the world. Those are really solid fantasy numbers. On the other hand, though, DeAndre Hopkins coming back, I think a little bit more of a key piece of that offense, whereas Zeke is, like you said, kind of faded a little bit down. Faded into the background a little bit with that offense, but you know, it got him the tie, and maybe that's going to be what puts him over the edge and squeaks him into the playoffs. But yeah, that was a crazy game. And how much time do we have? Since we're doing this on Wednesday afternoon, I'll quickly go through some of the waiver ads. The Denny Irvine's Gatorade listed Keenan Allen as likely to trade. So you can hit up Tommy Guns for some trades on that. Let's see. The technical fouls added the Browns D and dropped the Giants D, which thank you very much. I picked them right up. The One-Face Wonders are looking to move Chris Godwin. I picked up Jamal Williams. Those of you snakes trying to get the Detroit running back while the star DeAndre Swift is out. And... Randy added Trevor Lawrence. That's interesting. a backup QB for him and dropped tight end Logan Thomas. So that's what's going on in the waiver wire this week. But let's get into last week's games before we get too much further. We'll start off with the technical fouls versus for power and vitality. I'll let you kick us off, Chez. Give us the breakdown.
It was a great game. It came down to like any great matchup Monday night. Luckily, was able to pull it out. Throughout the whole weekend, Eric's players performed right as expected. Maybe slightly underperformed, but all in all, pretty solid performance from everyone, top to bottom. I was a little worried Sunday afternoon when my RB2 Montgomery for the Bears went down with an ankle injury, and then Stephon Diggs was in and out with cramps in his game. So, you know, there's some lower points there, but you know, Saquon came through on Monday night. So all in all, you know, was able to pull out a tough victory.
Yeah, the Saquon's performance so far this year has got to be a breath of fresh air after his last few seasons.
It is. That has been a big sign of relief.
Yeah. So I can't believe Eric's team is 0-3 to start the season. Do you think he can bounce back from that? Because by the looks of it, he has a solid team, but 0-3 a quarter of the way through the season, that's pretty tough.
Yeah, I think he will bounce back. You know, kind of mentioned, I think Kyler Murray will start performing a little better once Hopkins is back on the team. I believe Dalvin Cook has had some injuries. I think he's been playing every game, but I don't know if he's, he's always shown as having a couple injuries on the app. So hopefully he can get healthy and get some more points. And you know, I'll say this about Eric: he works the waiver wire harder than anyone else. You know, at some point there's going to be some player that we don't know and aren't talking about now that's going to start making an impact in the league later half of the year. And I think there's a good chance he's going to be on Eric's team.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And he's up there. He's made five moves so far. Randy's still leading the pack with seven, so thank goodness there. Looking into his team, JT and Dalvin Cook are having fine seasons, but they're not putting up the monster numbers like they did last year. I think that's hurting him a little bit. And I also crunched the numbers on him. His team is averaging 10 points below their ESPN projections each week so far, which is not great. We've had some deflated scores in the past couple weeks, which I think is really weird, but his team especially has not been putting up the kind of numbers that ESPN at least expects them to. So maybe they'll be able to turn around. We'll see about that. And he has the least points total by far. I think his points for total, let me look it up, 278.5, the next lowest is 302, Denny Irvine's Gatorade. So that's a little bit of concerning numbers there. But if JT and Dalvin Cook can start punching it in, you might be doing a little bit better.
I think it's not time for the panic button yet, but
yeah,
another bad week or two, then you got to start considering that.
Yeah, if you think, we'll get into that a little bit later. As far as David Montgomery goes, you said he was injured or was going in and out?
I believe ankle injury, and then he, you know, left the game about halfway through the first quarter.
Mm-hmm. And he hasn't been having a stellar season so far, has he?
He has not, but he always has. I mean, the Bears, I think they barely throw the football, so he always is projected really high each week on ESPN. I'm always going back and forth between usually him and Kareem Hunt, you know, who to play. And I tend to want to lean towards the guy who I think is going to be in the game a lot, mm-hmm. Versus, you know, Hunt splitting carries. So, but we'll see. Might have to change it up.
Yeah. Yep. We'll see. But you pulled out the victory last week. And I think that was my only pick that I got correct last week. So I appreciate that. I went 1-2, and I guess 1-2-1 with the tie last week, and Tommy went 0-3-1, so not quite undefeated, but not quite the goose egg, but not a very good pick record out of him. But I'm only 3-8 on the year. I don't know. I can't pick NFL games. I can't pick fantasy games. I don't know what's going on. But speaking of that, though, Randy and Tom and I went to the casino to do some sports gambling for the 1 o'clock games. That was a great time. I think we need to do that as a league sometime when everyone's in town.
How's the lounge? Wait, the Rivers? Is that
yeah
the mm-hmm. spot?
Yeah, it was very nice. It was big, kind of overwhelming, and I made it a Sunday fun day, so it was a little overstimulating for me, but I was able to walk away and do some slots and some roulette and stuff. But no, it was a good time if you can get over that there's like 15,000 TVs and sound only from one of them and you're trying to figure out which one. But no, it was a really good time. So we should definitely hit that up.
Good to know. I'm down. Let me know.
All right, let's do it. All right, and now run through the rest of the games last week. Running Fools versus the One-Faced Wonders. The Running Fools, boy oh boy, that was not a lot of positives about that performance. What do you think about that one, Chez?
Yeah, you know, sometimes I think that just happens. You have a bad week. I mean, top to bottom, again, just not the points performance you'd like to see. But, I think that's just something that, you know, happens, and I wouldn't be concerned if I was a Running Fools fan myself.
No.
I think they're going to bounce back. I think they just have too much talent, you know?
They do have a lot of talent, but it's like two really bad weeks in a row for the Running Fools, which is really weird. Like like Jalen Hurts is carrying the team so far, but his running backs through 3 weeks have not been putting up great numbers. Still struggling to get those guys some points. Let me look through my notes here. Oh, Joe Mixon, for one, hasn't averaged more than 3 yards per carry yet this season. And I think he only has one touchdown so far. And, you know, he'll get more touchdowns, but averaging only 3 yards, and the other guys, he's got Najee not doing a whole lot. And this whole Steelers offense has been pretty pathetic, I think. I don't know. Do you think they'll be able to turn around?
I think Mixon will be able to pick it up. I think, Justin Jefferson had another bad week. I think, you know, he'll improve. Najee, I think it's going to be a tough go of it. I think teams are, you know, not going to be afraid to load the box and tell Mitch to try and beat us. So I think he's going to be getting hit a lot in the backfield. So, you know, hopefully he just gets, you know, a lot of touches and some receptions and things like that to make up for the points. But yeah, I don't think he's going to have too great of a year.
Yeah, unfortunately. But we'll see. People are calling for Matt Canada to be fired already. Are you ready to pull that trigger yet, or are you still giving him a little bit more of a chance?
I'm giving him a little more chance. You know, last year, I think we didn't throw the ball down the field ever because partly the offense, partly I don't think Ben could do that over and over. So, you know, give him a few weeks to maybe see if he's able to adapt and things. So we'll see.
Yeah.
But it's not looking good.
Yeah, not looking great for the Lures, but oh well, what can you do? On the other side of that football game, the Wonders, I think they squeaked out a huge win because they also had a not great performance, only putting up 83 points. But anytime you can get out with a win and only put up 83 points, that's pretty sweet. That's pretty awesome. The bright side for them, though, on the point side, is that they've got a lot of players that they've either just recently added or are going to be coming back soon from their bench. DeAndre Hopkins, I think, has 3 games left on his suspension. Chris Godwin's injured, but he ought to be back in the next couple weeks. And then he also just added Christian Kirk and Amari Cooper from the waivers. So I guess that's kind of receiver heavy. Probably use a little bit more running back support, but those guys are doing all right. Do you find that you often end up with too many like receivers or running backs and never like a good mix of both?
I'd say lately it feels like past few years, I end up with yeah, too many pretty good receivers, and then no depth at running back. I have one or two people, and then other than that, I'm trying to add someone each week. It's kind of in the past, so trying to have more of a balanced approach.
Yeah, I am too. It's tough in this league though, because there's so many good players that you just see them on the waivers and you're like, oh, I want to add that person. There's obviously a ton of receivers that are like that, but yeah, it's tough. I'm struggling with that myself this year. But as far as the wonders go, Josh Jacobs is, I mean, he did fine last week, but Aaron Jones is definitely carrying that running back room. Josh Jacobs, I had him last year and he was great, but he would like just barely score enough points for me to not be angry with him. Like he'd have, 40 rushing yards and then squeak in a touchdown right at the end of the game. And it looks like he's on that bullshit train again. So great win for the Wonders, but maybe a little bit of concern there. Next up, we'll go to my game, the Iron City Olifants versus the Cincinnati Soup Cans. Boy, oh boy, was that a rough one for me. I was riding high after my week two win, putting up like 150 or something. But man, what a humbling crash down to earth.
4 points, Tyreek Hill. That's surprising to see.
It's rough. No one had a great week, and DeAndre Swift did get hurt. So, it's not great that he's hurt or that he only put up 5.5. But it gives a little bit more context to the 5.5. So I'm choosing to be positive about that. Amon-Ra St. Brown, my hero, put up 10 points. Patty Mahomes is another. He's not putting up Pat Mahomes numbers for the most part this year. Had that first big week, but since then has not been doing it for me so far. And you know what? I need Alvin Kamara to be a little bit better. He's been dog shit this year, and I just need him to pick it up. What's going on with him? Do the Saints just suck this year?
I haven't watched a single snap of Saints football, but I think it's probably just the team.
Yeah.
I don't know. You can't put it all on Alvin. Who you got on your bench? Any? You think AJ Dillon? You think he could potentially get more carries, and you could move Alvin on the bench down the line, or what do you think? What do you think you're doing?
Well, it's a little tricky because I don't want to have Alvin Kamara in there. So this week I'm kind of in between putting. So Alvin Kamara is currently in my flex, thinking about putting one of my receivers in there, and then putting the new Lions running back that I just got, whose name is escaping me, into the DeAndre Swift spot. So I don't know. It's tough. I think I'm the best team in the world 1 week, and then it all comes crashing down the next week. But I guess that's just fantasy for you. And then let's see, the Soup Cans, they have had a really solid season so far. Their record is 2-1 in the West Division, put up 113.5 this week, absolutely kicked my ass. Lamar Jackson, holy shit, he's unstoppable with it this year. He's put up, I feel like, 40 points every week, 38 points this week. Is he going to be the league MVP, Chez?
For our league or the NFL or both?
I think both are in play.
I would say both have to be in play.
These are like 2013 Michael Vick numbers or whatever year he went off for the Eagles. It's incredible.
I mean, I could see it. I would, a dark horse for league MVP, maybe Jalen Hurts. I don't know. The Eagles are pretty hot right now.
Jalen Hurts is having a crazy year too. It's unbelievable, really. I mean, he is, I think, less he was less predictable than Lamar Jackson, because Lamar's always been crazy good. But, Jalen Hurts could sneak into that conversation as well. It's a good call. And then, let's see, the Soup Cans also had Nick Chubb, who is probably the most consistent running back in the league right now, at least as far as fantasy football goes. And that must be nice, because have fucking Austin Eckler sucking so far. I really need him to pick it up.
Yeah, he seems like he's good. They have a good line. They want to run the ball, so
yeah,
he's going to consistently get touches and get yards. So, and he gets in the end zone. It's going to be a great turnout, great game.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, I think that about covers the soup cans. I feel like I've been giving the soup cans a lot of slander the past few weeks, and you know they don't really deserve it. They're not a very deep team, but the guys he's got, they can put up numbers, and they have so far.
I may be mistaken, but I believe he has the highest his points total so far this year.
Oh, does he? He very well might. I haven't looked at that. Oh yeah, he does. Look at that. Wow. How about the soup cans? Making me eat my words. Take it all back, Diddy. I'm sorry. Congrats on being a dad, by the way. Times two. Really amazing stuff. All right. And then next, I think this is really the game of the week, the Real Americans versus Denny Irvine's Gatorade. Tell me your thoughts going into this game, because it was projected to be pretty close.
It was, and it lived up to the hype. You know, I came down to the last drives of Monday Night Football, whether, you know, Zeke was going to get, you know, one or two more carries to get the yards, and didn't happen, but the tie was great. And, you know, just a great matchup top to bottom. You know, Tom's team basically performed, his best player showed up over 20 points from Joe Burrow, over 20 points from Derrick Henry, 15 points from Kelsey. Same on Randy's side. Josh Allen, Zeke ended up having a good game. And Randy has some sneakily good running backs. And I think we should talk about that, because I don't think he had any of them as keepers.
No, I don't believe he did. And yeah, Clyde Edwards-Helaire has been incredible for him so far this year, and also had the pleasure of putting up the weirdest stat line, I think, in the history of fantasy football. 0 rushing yards and 11.5 points. That's that's pretty incredible. So almost 40 receiving yards and 5 receptions, but zero rushing yards and 11.5 points. That's got to be a first, I think, in fantasy football.
Yep. And James Robinson had a big game. I hate having to, in my mind, the Jacksonville Jaguars just don't really exist. And then I hate when there's this player that I've never heard of, who's apparently pretty good. You got Robinson, Dave, Christian Kirk.
Yeah,
who's on the Jags. Never heard that name in my life. And right. Here they are, making an impact in the league.
I know. It's infuriating. I do think because of this podcast, I've gotten a lot more into fantasy football. So I have like a couple other shows that I listen to try to keep up with who the hell all these players are. And it's still very difficult. I'm still very bad at it. And I'm right there with you. I refuse to believe that the Jaguars are a real team or will ever be a threat to anyone. But, well, I guess that's on me. Josh Allen, I believe, was one of the Real Americans keepers, and he has been lighting it up this year. Do you think the Bills and Josh Allen they could make a run for it?
Yeah, I think you got to put them as definitely one of the favorites, top five. And I would probably say that if I had to pick one team now that I thought could win the Super Bowl, I would pick the Bills.
Yeah. How about their offensive coordinator, though, losing at the end of the Dolphins game? Did you see that?
Ken Dorsey, the Miami
Ken
guy.
Ken Dorsey, that's right.
Miami quarterback.
Oh, my God. That was so funny. We watched that live in the casino, and it was very funny. I loved it. And then on the other side, we'll talk about the Denny Irvine's Gatorades a bit. Overall, pretty solid performance out of his group, I thought. Not anything earth-shattering, but pretty solid. He's got to be thanking God that Derrick Henry finally showed up to a football game and played. That was probably nice for him.
Yeah, I'm sure he was worried about that, and Derrick Henry showed up. You know, it's the Derrick Henry of old, so
yeah.
If he keeps that together, then I'm sure Tom's going to be a happy guy.
21.5 points out of Derrick Henry, 20 carries for 85 yards. And I think, yeah, he's been getting a bunch of carries, 21, 13, and 20 the past 3 weeks. So, you know, those aren't too concerning. It was a lack of yards or touchdowns for those performances. So, unfortunately for the rest of us, it looks like Derrick Henry is, in fact, going to be Derrick Henry at least part of this year. And let's see. Oh, yeah, his running back group, again, with Derrick Henry being back, is looking a little more solid. Maybe if Cordarrelle Patterson cannot be so boom or bust, that might be a solid RB2 for him. But so far, the points just really haven't been there. Like I said, he's the second lowest point scorer in the league, but his record, of course, 1-1-1, still right in the middle of it, but the only 500 team. I love it. But yeah, okay, so Tom shared with me that once again after the game, Randy was talking more shit, and he texted him, story of Tom's life, still couldn't close. You can't stop the team of destiny, Tommy boy. That's incredible. And, you know, in Rainey's defense, Tom was talking a lot of shit on the podcast last week. He said lightning wouldn't strike for a third time. And I don't know if the tie counts as lightning striking, but I don't know. It's something. Maybe like heat lightning.
I would count it, you know, just with the context of, you know, Rainey's position at the start of the season with, you know, no draft picks and, you know, thinking he's going to be a joke, and here he is. You know, he has the best record, came out and didn't let Tom get out of there with a victory.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think as much shit as Tom was talking, he needed to pull out the W, and he just didn't. So I'll give the point to Randy on that one. All right, let's go through the standings so far through the first 3 weeks. Of course, we have the loud and red-hot Real Americans, number 1, 2-0-1. Cincinnati Soup Cans are next, 2-1, tied with the Technical Fouls, the One-Faced Wonders, and then Denny Irvine's Gatorade right in the middle there, 1-1-1, and then Iron City Olifants, Running Fools, and For Power and Vitality, the bottom three. That's rough. We were projected 1, 2, and 3 on ESPN, but a lot of football left, so we'll see. All right. Well, anything else you want to add on last week's game, or should we move on to making some predictions here?
I think let's get into the predictions.
All right, let's do it. First up, we got the Running Fools versus Denny Irvine's Gatorade.
Does anybody want some more Gatorade?
Chez, tell us what you think.
You know, I mentioned it earlier. I think talent. Talent eventually will win out, and you know, I just think the Running Fools are the more talented roster. I think Hurts is going to have another big game. Yeah, the running backs will step it up for Brian, and I think the Running Fools are going to pull this one out.
Picking the Running Fools, I respect it. I think I decided though that because I'm pretty sure I picked the Running Fools each week, other than the week that they faced me, I guess. But that's just, you know, because I love my team. But I think they're going to have to prove it to me that they can actually be the Running Fools. They're projected like nine points over the Denny Irvine's Gatorades. But I don't know, man. The past 2 weeks, the running back situation out there, it just gives me the spooks. So I'm going with Denny Irvine's Gatorades. But we'll see. I would not be surprised at all if I ate my words on that one. And then next up, let's get to the Real Americans versus the One-Faced Wonders. This is a tough one. This one for me, I relate this to Jesse Pinkman in Breaking Bad when he finally turns on Walt, screaming, "He can't keep getting away with this." That's this game to me. Randy can't keep getting away with this terrible team. I know he's in first place. I know I've been talking shit the past 3 weeks. I'm sick of it. He can't keep doing this.
You're going with the One-Faced Wonders then, I'm guessing?
I'm going with the One-Faced Wonders then. Yes, thank you.
I completely 100% disagree. I think this magic train keeps rolling. I think Randy's going to pull it out. I mentioned earlier, I think Dave, in the long term, will win their trade when we look back on it. But obviously, he's not going to get any benefit from that this week. And you know, I bet against the Real Americans so far this season, and I've looked silly each time, so I'm not going to do it again. Well, going with the real Americans.
Not me. I'm going to keep looking stupid until he wins the goddamn championship. But anyway, all right, next up we have my team, the Iron City Oliphants, versus For Power and Vitality. And this week I am hoping and praying and begging that Austin Eckler finally has a good game. I need him to get some yards, get some touchdowns. I forget who they're playing. Oh, they're playing Houston, who's absolutely terrible. So I'm really hoping they can get a lead, run the ball a lot. And then Alvin Kamara, too. Come on, man. Going up against the 28th best running back defense in the league. I need him to get going. I believe they will get going. I'm taking the Fonts by 10. Who do you got, Chez?
Yeah, I think this is going to be the week we look back on and that we think For Power and Vitality gets back on the right track. I think Jonathan Taylor, I think, will have a big game. I think Kyler Murray will start playing back at the level that we're used to. Jalen Waddle, I think, he'll have another strong week. I'm going with Eric on this one. In a close one.
All right. Well, I'm never going to forget that you said that, but I will forgive you once I kick his ass up and down, starting 0-4 on the season. Suck it, Eric. All right. And then next up, we have the matchup of the week, Cincinnati Soup Cans versus the Technical Foul.
That's a technical foul.
A battle of juggernauts in week 4. 2-2-1 teams. Projected, when I checked last night, Soup Cans 108.1 to the Technical Fouls 108.6. So it's going to be a close one. It's going to be a really close one. Tough matchup for the Soup Cans. You got Lamar facing the number one quarterback defense. Chubb facing the number five running back defense. And then on the other hand, the Technical Fouls have a bit better matchups across the board. But then again, Brady has not been too solid this year. Hasn't had more than one touchdown pass in a game or passed more than 271 yards. So a bit of concern there. James Conner hasn't found a way to really become part of the offense like he did last year, not getting in the end zone. So, I don't know, kind of going back and forth on this one. Wait, do I have that right? Either of your teams have James Conner?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you have James Conner. Okay, cool. I thought Eric had him for a minute, but anyway. Okay, cool. I won't cut it. Don't worry. All right, so James Conner hasn't found a way to be a part of the offense. I think the Soup Cans have the league MVP. This week, I'm guzzling down some Cincinnati soup. What do you think about that?
You couldn't be more wrong. You know, the Soup Cans, they've made a big splash the first few weeks. They have a couple great individual players that put up big numbers. But this is not a great team. And you alluded to yourself in your assessment, you know. You got Nick Chubb going against a sneakily good Atlanta run defense. And Lamar Jackson, he'll put up these video game numbers against the bottom feeders like the New York Jets or the Patriots, but he's not going into Buffalo and doing that. He's gonna put down more average numbers along with Nick Chubb, and this team just does not have the firepower to make up for that. The Technical Fouls are going to pull this one out, and it's not going to be close. This one's going to be wrapped up by the time the 1 o'clock games are over on Sunday. It's going to be Technical Fouls with the widest margin of victory this week.
Oh wow! Okay, awesome. I love to hear it. Awesome. Well, yeah, should be a great slate of games. Yeah, I think that's all we got. Chez, do you have anything else for us?
No, I think that's all. Thanks for having me on. Big fan of the pod.
Absolutely. All right, I'll talk to you later, bud.
Yep, see ya.
See ya. That's our show for the week. Best of luck to everyone except for Eric. This has been a super fantasy football show. I'll be back next week. Until then, I'll see you in it, Froggies. Have you or a loved one been a victim of a freezing cold take by one of your close friends on a super fantasy football show? Was your top fantasy star slandered in one of the episodes? Or maybe they attacked your team's chances on a given week? Perhaps they gave you a false hope about a player who turned out to be actual dog shit or cut entirely from the team? Or maybe someone just said something that was so stupidly wrong that they deserved to be embarrassed? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you may be entitled to emotional compensation in the form of public retaliation. If you remember hearing a take on a super fantasy football show that was so insanely wrong that it could only be described as freezing cold, Then text John the title of the episode, a timestamp when the take happened, as well as a few sentences describing why the take is so freezing cold, and you may be able to get retribution in a future episode. Again, text John the title of the episode, a timestamp of when the take took place, and a brief description of why it is cold, and you may hear that frozen take in a future episode of the Super Fantasy Football Show.